morning. We thank you that you're here with us. We've sung it, but we believe it. Some of us feel it, some of us might not, but it does not matter what we feel, it's what your word says. So Lord, we look to you as we open your word today. We talk about some important things about life. We ask you, Lord God, that it's not your word that will fail, it's our application of your word that might fail. So help us to take on board what it is you're sharing with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could have the first screen, please, Geordie. Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 in the Message says this. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. I want to also look at another scripture. We're going to talk today about comparisons. I know that Justin and Janelle will look at their three children and try to compare them, and they're all so different. I know that pretty much everyone who's a mum and a dad, if you stop at one, that's it, but you have the second one, it's like, what was I thinking? Because I remember we had Lauren, and Lauren was an angel. She was the best baby, and then Mark came. I'm just going to leave that there. And then Luke came a little while later, and he's just different to all of them. Sadly, he's probably a clone of me in some ways. But when we compare ourselves, Scripture's telling us we need to be content. I want to read from Romans 12. It'll be on the board for you as well. Romans 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. How many? Everyone. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for something. Even before I became a Christian, that wasn't until my mid-30s, I wanted my life to count for something. In those days, it was probably more a selfish thing about me, but I've always wanted to make my life make a difference to someone. Made a big difference to Chris. Wasn't necessarily good, but it was a big difference. But since becoming a Christian, I've realized how important it is to make my life count. Because God has a purpose. He has something that he has for me to do. And so it's really important that my life counts. But our tendency in doing that is that we start to look around and look at others and begin to compare how we're going. We evaluate, we judge, and we differentiate. These are not the standards that God calls us to measure by. He never calls us to measure by each other. In fact, I think somewhere in Scripture it says, he who compares himself with others is not wise. So the important thing is that we don't compare with others. It's too easy to compare. It's too easy to look around and say, well, they're not doing as much as me. It's too easy to go, oh, they're better than I am. And it leads us to two things, either pride or self-deprecation. And I want to tell you, both are bad in the eyes of God. and I'm going to explain why that is. Scripture is very clear about the dangers of pride, but also about the dangers of self-deprecation, because that first scripture told us we have to be content whoever you are, no more, no less. And if I'm to compare myself to the Apostle Paul, if I was to compare myself to Stephen as he's being stoned, looking up to heaven, if I compare myself to David facing a Goliath, when I compare myself to Abraham's faith where he just got up and went not knowing where he was going, but just at the word of the Lord, I look at that and I go, I'm going to give up. I can't do that. There's stuff here that I don't think I can do. And I think God knows this. I think God knows us intimately enough to know what we can cope with in the moment that we are. Sure, he's got other things for us, but he's got to take us there. You see, you can't just suddenly step into something if you haven't been prepared for that something. And some people are looking at others going, oh, I want to be able to do that. But you're not preparing yourself. You're not allowing God to take you on that journey of preparation. Now, the lives of men like Abraham and Paul and Stephen and David are there as lessons to us, but we are not to emulate or copy them in what they actually did. We can't just say, well, this worked for them, so I'm going to do that. We are who we are. I am what I am, and I'm all that I am. I'm Michael the Pastor Man. For those that remember Popeye, who remembers Popeye? All the old people in the room. Oh, you come on, you're not a teenager anymore. Let's give us a, come on, give me a break. Don't you love YouTube? You get the chance to see all sorts of stuff you've never seen before. Well, we are who we are. And we start to compare ourselves, and God says, that's not the way to do it. See, the key to the accomplishments of men like David and Abraham and even Joseph, Paul, Stephen, the key to their accomplishment was their personal relationship to God, their devotion to him, their taking of the opportunities that were given. And their opportunities were all unique. You read their stories and they were all so different. You have a unique opportunity God is going to give you. You don't try and wait for this other one because that's how God worked in the Bible. God will give you an opportunity. You've got to be smart enough to take that opportunity. The key to their accomplishment was their specific call. Their call was unique. We're not all called to be a Hillsong pastor. We're not all called to be the greatest musician on the planet. We're called within our call. We are who we are. Each call is specific and unique. Even if they look a bit the same, they're still unique. Every worship leader in our church is different in the way that they worship, the way that they lead. They're unique. If we start copying each other, we're just going to be this cardboard cutout. And God isn't looking for cardboard cutouts. If he was looking for cardboard cutouts, we'd all look the same, we'd all sound the same, and we'd all do the same. I look around and none of us look pretty similar, really. There's a few in the corner over there that might. We're unique. And God has given each of us a gift or gifts and a personality that is unique. It's our character he wants to change, not our personality. Come on. It's our character he wants to change, not our personality. I am what I am. God changes our character. And we read Hebrews 11 and there's this big list of all the faithful. This one did that and this one did this. And if you read it, they all did different things, but it was all classed as faith. So we can't compare one another. But the faithful, when I read that, I read all the ones of Hebrews 11, they had their weaknesses. All of them had their weaknesses. There wasn't one that got everything absolutely right. They had their weaknesses, through which they displayed God's power. See, God is most evident in your weaknesses. He can use your strengths, but everyone can see your strengths. When he uses you and your weaknesses, he's glorified. We see the weaknesses of some of these men and women of God. Your weaknesses are great things. Don't put them down. You don't have to work on them. You just have to let God work through them. That's the thing. See, I don't want to make the same mistakes those men and women made. I don't want to even be them. I don't even want to copy what they did. But what I want to do is for whom they did it. But what is God is calling me to do, for whom I'm doing it. That is the key, is the motivation. And we are to consider our own personal walk, not the walk of another. You can't ever say they're not doing enough or I wish I was like them, because their walk is different. You've got to look at yourself and say, how am I actually going in my walk? Where am I going with this? You may look at them and go, gee, I wish I knew the Bible like them. Well, you know, you may not, but you need to do something about that. That's what you wish. Maybe get into the Word. Maybe start reading it. Maybe do some study. God's question to you today is not, can you do what they're doing? His question is not, are you as suitable as they are? God's question to you is, will you trust me to use you the way I choose? Will you trust me to use you the way I choose? I used to go to a lot of conferences. I don't go to many these days because they all gave me the keys to grow my church and none of them worked. But I used to go to conferences and I used to look around. I used to look around at the church. I used to listen to the music. I used to listen to the preaching. I looked at all the things they've got, you know, the great coffee machine in the foyer. And I used to start comparing. Guess what it did for me? It just brought me down. Made me feel inadequate. Made me feel like I wasn't cutting it. But I want to tell you, God has a different ministry for me than he has for others. We may be ministering the same word, we may be ministering the same gospel, but how we do that is different. And when we start comparing ourselves, we either get down or we get puffed up. One of my worst failings, and I'm one of them, is I'll send you a book later. One of my worst failings would have to be when I walk into church and listen to the music. Oh, that's terrible. I wouldn't be doing that. Gee, that guy on the mix is lousy. It's not my business. Is it? I don't want to get in there and change. But you see, our call is all different. And who we are is who we need to be. Will you trust me to use you the way I choose? God would say to you. When we look at Romans 12, in verse 3 it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. There it is. We are each given a measure of faith. We are each given a measure of grace, and it's different for all of us because we're different. It's not the same amount of faith. It's not the same amount of grace. You're going to need faith and grace to grow because later on you're going to need more of that. But right now, where you are, God has sufficient faith and grace for you to do what it is that he's calling you to do in this moment of your life. The faith and grace that God has for me is sufficient for the task he has set me, and the same goes for you. Gifts and our abilities are by God's grace. Who are we to say, their gift is greater than mine? Why did you do that, God? How come they're better than me at that? How come so-and-so is such a great preacher? Why can't I be like that? Well, my gift isn't worth much compared to theirs, God. Oh, God, I hate that self-deprecating stuff. When we compare, we're saying to God, I don't like what you've made, either them or me. You're saying to God, I don't like what you made. I don't like the way you made me, God. Or I don't like the way you made them. That's not fair. Think about that. It's by God's grace. Grace means undeserved favor or merit. It's undeserved in the first place. We should be applauding that, going, thank God, God used a man like Billy Graham. Come on. I'm never going to be a Billy Graham. I don't want to be a Billy Graham. I don't like wearing suits. But you understand what I'm saying? Who are we to say that God is right or wrong in how he distributes his gifts, to whom he gives them, and the value of one life over another? Who are we to make that decision? Every call is different. What is common to us is to do what we are called to do the best way possible. It says, if it's to prophesy, prophesy. If it's to serve, serve willingly. If it's to teach, teach smartly. If it's to encourage, then encourage people. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to give, give well. Whatever your gift is, you need to do it to the best of your ability. And all of those things are linked to faith, diligence, and grace. That's the key. Because your gift, what God has placed on you, if you're not using it, you are not benefiting the kingdom of God. And you will answer for that. I won't answer for it. I don't have to answer for you either. I don't have to even tell you, but you will answer to God for that. If I say to someone, I really think, you know, you need to think about doing so-and-so, and I don't always hear from God, so I need them to talk about that and pray about that. But God tells you to, and you go, no, I can't be bothered. You will stand for that, not me. The gifts are for the benefit of the kingdom. So if someone's a great teacher and a great encourager, they are in the body for your benefit. You shouldn't say, oh, I wish I could be that. You should say, isn't it great we've got that? Don't be jealous, be grateful. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created, can we have it please, Geordie? That's it. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared in advance. He's not caught short. What am I going to do with Derek? I mean, Derek's come to believe in me. What am I going to do with him? He already knows what he's got for you. He already knows what he's got for you. He prepared them in advance. And verse 9 of Romans is God's blanket calling to all. I'm going to read it to you. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love. We should love God, love others enough to celebrate what they do. And you know what? We need to love ourselves enough to work out that God loves us the way we are. That's how he made us. We should be eager to value the gifts of others, to be pleased to see them flowing, but not using that as an excuse not to serve in our own way. Let's stop comparing. On our platform, we have musicians. We're not the best musicians in the world. But if you bring a heart to serve in your gift the best way you can, and you allow the Holy Spirit to use that and also use your weaknesses, there's a harmony in that. Now, we don't always play the right notes, but there's a harmony in that. I can tell you, the atmosphere on this platform is electric every Sunday. Now, I don't know if you guys catch it down here, but there's something up here that's of God. And we're not the best musicians in the world. We're not the best church musicians in the world. But when we start looking at each other and comparing, then we start getting into trouble. I've played in lots of bands. I was actually asked to join a band last week, and there's no way I was going to. Went to talk to them, but I didn't. There's no way. Because nothing compares to this. Come on, nothing compares to this. But you see, if Amy looks at me and goes, oh, I wish I could play rhythm like Pastor Mike. But one day you will. She's not jealous of it, though, are you? Oh, are you? Okay. You're the first one down the front after the message. But I've spent years practicing those rhythms. And what God is saying to you is right now, you're where I want you. If you want to learn those rhythms, then take the advice I gave you. And I look at Derek, and Derek can do the thing with the fingers. You know that lead thing? I do very simple lead. I can't do what Derek does. And Derek has this ability to just, he just knows the technicality of music so well. And I don't have that. But the thing is that if I try to be Derek, I'm not me anymore. Because I actually can't play lead. I have tried. Yes, you can. You need more confidence. The fact of the matter is, if we start comparing each other as musicians, this is going to fall apart. But if we get up and say, I'm just going to do the best I can with what I got today, I'll be all right. I mean, Jess picked a couple of songs I hate this morning. Not because they're horrible songs, but I struggle to play them. When I'm in a rhythm, I say, this is good. And I look at Derek and go, oh, I wish I could have his confidence this morning, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, I stood up there and I said, okay, God, this is for you. And that's what we got. We've got to stop comparing. You may never be the musician or the singer or the worship leader or the teacher or the encourager or the prophet that you want to be. I tell you something, I wish I could prophesy. I hunger to prophesy. I've cried out to God and said, why don't I get prophetic words? Why don't you give me something so I can stand in front of the people and look like so-and-so? And then I go, ah, that's the problem. You know, there are a lot of church pastors, a lot of church leaders that they prophesy as well. And I so want to be like that, but God's gone to me, that's not what I called you to do. I called you to be a music director, a teacher, a preacher, coffee maker. There's a few others in there, see? Where God's handiwork created for good works that he prepared for us in advance to do. Next couple of scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Don't have Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. You might say, well, I don't argue with anybody. Do you know what? Sometimes we have these foolish and stupid arguments in our heads. And we argue with ourselves about things. And we have these foolish and stupid arguments in our heads. Stop having a stupid and foolish argument in your head. It's not going to help you. Just give God what you got. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears attentive to their prayer. God is attentive to us when our attitude is right. You want God to turn his ear to you? Get rid of those stupid and foolish arguments and say, God, I'm just here for you. Just here to give you whatever it is that I can give. That's the kind of righteousness God is looking for. That righteousness of faith based on the grace that he's given your life. Comparisons lead us to criticize, they lead us to judge, or worse still, make us feel inadequate. Comparisonitis is a debilitating disease. You're not going to find it in a medical textbook. You won't find it on Dr. Google. Please stop looking up your condition on Google. Go and see a doctor. So many people self-diagnosing. Stop doing it. But you won't. If you look up comparisonitis, you won't find it. But it's just as destructive as any other physical or mental disease if you start comparing yourself with others. And we compare in so many ways. Look at our society. They love to pull down the tall poppies. Or some people feel inferior. Or they put down others who are less than them. Or they justify, not as bad as them. Proverbs 14:30, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So does age, doesn't it, Pastor Laurie? But envy definitely rots the bones. Maybe your problem is your heart is not at peace. Why? Maybe you've got a little bit of envy. See, you can't excuse your sin by comparing yourself to someone else. Well, my good deeds outweigh my bad. I'm not as bad as some. I'm mostly a good person. Try using that as a defense for drink driving. If you're caught drink driving or speeding, you can't say to the officer, seriously, I don't usually speed. I don't usually drink and drive. You know, my good outweighs my bad. Now, we know that doesn't work in the courts. It doesn't work with God either. You are judged according to the offense, not whether the good outweighs the bad. And when we compare, we are in opposition to Scripture. I don't want to oppose anything in God's Word. I want to flow with it. Whether you think too highly of yourself or you feel inadequate, God does not define you the way the world defines yourself. God does not define you the way the world does. Because the externals for God mean nothing to him. You see, I wonder if one of the worst sins we commit is to fail to rise to our full potential because we feel inadequate. I believe that one of the worst sins is to not fulfill your potential because you feel inadequate. Remember the parable of the talents? What did you do with it? It's one of the questions God will ask of you. What did you do with it? The externals mean nothing to God. God's grace makes you who you are destined to be. There is enough grace for you to serve in the way God has called you to serve. Look at Paul and Peter. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Like it or not, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything. You know that? Do I need to define what everything means? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. If you think God has called you to something that you don't like, then you are questioning his glory and goodness. We've been looking at Job a lot lately. And he understood this because he said, Lord gives, Lord takes away. It's his to do with as he wishes, whatever. And it says in Job chapter 1, verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Don't charge God with wrongdoing because he's made you a certain way. He determines what's right and what's wrong. We don't. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector? Pharisee's there praying, and he says, thank God I'm not like this sinner. Thank you, Lord, that I'm just not like this sinner. And the tax collector says, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let me tell you something. If you come with that attitude, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them, you can never be too sure because someone better might come along. And I guarantee if you talk like that, God's going to send them. Let's be honest. No one likes hanging around with proud people. And to be honest, no one likes hanging around with people who are self-deprecating either. Oh, I'm just not good enough. You know how long you stay around? After a couple of weeks, you've had enough of that, haven't you? Oh, I can't do that. Let God's grace and faith in you get you to that point where you are happy and content with who he's made you to be. You see, humility is not about going, oh, I'm just a nobody and I put myself down. God, it's recognizing who God says you are and work with that. That's what it is. Humility is saying, God, without you I can't do this, but with you I can do anything. Come on. Some of you allow that stuff to pull you down. Don't let it pull you down, because the devil wins or the world wins. James chapter 3, verse 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Don't put your hand up. That's pride. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. See, it gets worse. Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Let me ask you this question. If you are not harvesting righteousness, what are you harvesting? I'll ask it again. If you are not harvesting righteousness, what are you harvesting? So what are we to be compared to then? God's word. God's word. So many areas in here where we can take spiritual inventory. And when we look at it, we can't go, oh, but I'm not even there yet, God. What's wrong with me? Start making some steps. God doesn't care that you're not there. He cares that you're on the journey. That's what he cares about. I want to read to you a spiritual inventory in Psalm 15. We touched on this last week, but I'm going to read the whole passage, which is only a few verses. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. And here it is, whoever does these things will never be shaken. Compare yourself to the word. Compare yourself the way that you've been gifted in the grace that you have and in the faith that you have. Could we jump a scripture and go to the Matthew 5:5:1 again? Thanks, Geordie. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. So what can't be bought? Can't buy grace. Can't buy faith. Can't buy joy. Can't buy peace. Can't buy love. Can't buy contentment. If you're content with who you are, you get all this stuff that can't be bought. And let me tell you, it's worth more than anything you own. Anything you own. Security in who I am is a journey, not a destination. You just need to stay in that security as God takes you through that journey. I'm going to finish on a scripture. It's not up there, so don't worry. It's Ephesians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, a lot of people take that out of context. I'm going to give you the context. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It says, this is Paul in the Message. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. What can you do? Contentment first, then you can do it. You get everything that can't be bought. I want to tell you something. When you start to compare, it will rob you. It will rob you of your peace and your joy, your contentment. When you compare, you rob God. And when you compare, you rob the church. You rob the kingdom of God. Let's be a people who doesn't do that. And I know that There's no evidence to me of envy in this church. Because if you're envious, you're keeping it to yourself pretty well. But you know what? Some of us think more poorly of ourselves than we should. Stop comparing. Where are you at with God? Why don't we bow our heads? No special holy moment, just a moment to focus. Just to focus. What are the areas you've compared yourself in? Having a desire to be something is not wrong in and of itself. But if you start saying, but I want it that way, that's where you start getting in trouble. If you desire to be a better something or to be a bit like somebody in some area, don't try to be them. Ask God to let you be you on that journey. Father God, I ask this morning that you give us security in who we are. That we recognize this is a journey. It's probably a lifelong journey, I would suggest. But Lord, help us to be secure in the grace you've given us for this moment, the faith you've given us for this moment, and ask that you will increase your grace and your faith as you take us on this journey ever higher into the purpose that you've called us to. Help us to remember that we are each unique. We have a unique call. We have a unique purpose. We have a unique personality. We have unique gifts. They may be similar, but they are not the same. Lord, help us to find contentment. Help us to remove the whole idea of comparing ourselves with anything but God's call on our lives and what His Word says. Help us to have that attitude that allows your ear to be attentive to us in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, I pray for those this morning who feel insecure, who feel that they've failed you, who feel that they've failed themselves or they've failed others. Lord, lift them this morning. Help them, like Paul, to say, I've learned to be content in any and all circumstances. And Lord, as they do that, lift their head, lift their heart. Allow them to see themselves as you see them. Not ignoring their weaknesses, but asking you to teach them and to grow through them in their weaknesses. Lord, lift us up, but don't lift us high. Lift us to where we belong. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray for those who are with us today. And ask, Lord, that this isn't just something that is a message, but is something that we will take to our hearts, take into our lives, be content with who we are, so that we get more love, more grace, more faith, more contentment, more peace, more joy. We ask this all in Jesus' mighty name this morning. Amen.